are very welcome to the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench. Thank you to Sinead for keeping us all company over the last couple of hours. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7 o'clock. I've got reaction from both Cork versus Clare games across hurling and camogie, as well as rugby news and, of course, a roundup of all the day's sporting action. So let's get into it. Starting out with Gaelic games, where there were two key clashes between Cork and Clare today at Super Value Porkycueve. First up, in the Munster Camogie Championship semi-final, Cork came out on top on a scoreline of 117-19. The Cork hurlers were unable to continue the Rebel winning streak in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship today. Their game finished Cork 324 to Clare 326. Locally, in the McCarthy Insurance Football League Division 1, there were three games in action this morning. Nemo Rangers beat Air Oak by 2 goals and 14 points to 1 goal and 7 points, while Douglas secured a single point win in their game against Ballincollig. Elsewhere, Castlehaven beat Kilmartra by 2-16 to 11 points. To the Premier League now, where there are three games down for decision this afternoon. Bournemouth beat Brighton 3-0. Meanwhile, Arsenal survived a scare against Tottenham Hotspur. Having been up 3-0 at half-time, Arsenal allowed the North London side a second-half comeback, but the game ultimately finished 3-2 in Arsenal's favour. Guy Swindles has the full-time report.
Spurs 2, Arsenal 3. A thriller that leaves Arsenal's hopes of a Premier League title intact. First half, Spurs played well, but Arsenal led 3-0. Højbjerg's own goal, Saka and Havertz. In the second half, well, the Gunners should have been out of sight, missed a couple of chances, and then when Reyes' mistake let in Romero, Spurs were back at them. Son's penalty after VAR spotted a foul by Rice gave them hope 5 minutes from time. But in the end, Arsenal held out. Just a thriller. Spurs 2, Arsenal 3.
England international Bukayo Saka was among the goal scorers for Arsenal, and he told Sky Sports News that they knew they couldn't relax even when 3-0 up.
Obviously, we know it's a big derby and they don't want to just lose 3-0 at home. So once they got one, you know, the crowd was up, they was up, and the momentum shifted their way. But, you know, I'm proud of all the boys. We fought to the end and, yeah, we got the 3 points.
That result puts Arsenal 4 points clear at the top of the Premier League table, ahead of Manchester City, who are currently in action against Nottingham Forest. Forest, meanwhile, are hoping to drag themselves further clear of the Premier League's relegation zone, where they remain just 1 point clear of the bottom three. After about 70 minutes played, the latest score in that game is 2-0 to City, and I'll be sure to get you a full-time score from that game later on in the show. Closer to home, in the FAI Intermediate Cup final, Ringmahon Rangers face Glebe North this afternoon. The Cork side scored a late equaliser to send the match into extra time, but conceded a penalty, which Glebe North scored to take the title on a scoreline of 3-2. To rugby now, where Cork Conn faced Terenure in the AIL final at the Aviva Stadium this afternoon. Despite playing much of the match with diminished numbers due to indiscipline, it was the Cork side who secured the title, winning 33 points to 22. And finally, in rowing, Cork's Margaret Cremin has won a silver medal for Ireland in the lightweight women's single event at the European Rowing Championships in Hungary. And it was Erling Haaland, who scored that second goal for City around the 70th minute, came on and pretty much scored immediately, which is exactly what Pep Guardiola would have wanted him to do. However, we are going to start off the show with those Cork games against Clare this afternoon. As I said, there was a win for the Camogie team and a loss for the hurlers. Just before I came on air, I had a chance to speak with Ger McCarthy, who was pitch side at both games, to get his thoughts. Ger McCarthy joins me on the line now to discuss the two Cork versus Clare games from Super Value Porkycueve today. Ger, thanks for joining me. What was your overall assessment, first of all, of that Cork Camogie performance today?
Workmanlike, Sarah, is how I would put it. It was far from spectacular, but it, you know, I think we have to give a bit of credit here to Clare. Clare were a very, very tough opponent. They got an early goal, a fortuitous goal to kick things off, but once Saoirse McCarthy equalised with another goal within 60 seconds, Cork just seemed to assume control. But they were 7 points ahead at one stage, but they never pulled away like they would have in years before. You know, there would have been a wider gap between these two counties at this level, but that is no longer the case. And Clare certainly gave a fine account to themselves at Super Value Park in Cueve. What I would say is, Germani spoke to us afterwards, as you heard, and he did mention that Cork seniors are in the middle of a very hard training block, which means they're in quite a bit of running and quite a bit of strength and conditioning right now, so they wouldn't be as agile or as quick off the ground as you would expect. But getting to the Munster final, I mean, remember, Sarah, this time last year Cork lost to Waterford in Parky Ring, and it was a big surprise, and it gave them an additional time, a bit of time to work before the championship started. They went on to win the All-Ireland, but Germanley, the new manager, was adamant that he wanted to win the Munster Championship this year. He's one step closer now thanks to today's victory, and look, they did what they had to do against a decent opponent and a strong opponent, and I think while there's lots to work on, they'll be more happy with the result than the performance.
And I think depth of squad, I think, seemed to be, and competitiveness, I suppose, as well, of the squad is something that Germani has spoken about quite a bit, and it looked like it proved useful today. There were, you know, 7 different scorers for Cork.
Yes, and Clodagh Finn coming off the bench, getting 3 points, like Millie Condon coming on. And Cork are going to need that. Like, they had Hayley Ryan in from the start as well. And, you know, without Laura Tracy today and a few others that you would expect to be starting come championship, they didn't look weakened, I suppose, Sarah. And the key thing that Gerard wants to get across is it's not enough for Cork to be bringing on, you know, like for like with the substitutes. They need to bring on game changers. They need to bring on players that can take it to the opposition. There's a very, very good forward line in there with Orla Cahalan, Amy O'Connor, Saoirse McCartan. Each of those players played particularly well today, I thought. The usefulness of the bench was a nice positive, and it certainly kept Cork on the front foot. It certainly didn't detract from them at critical stages of the game. I would say, though, that Aoife Healy at the back was superb, and definitely Saoirse McCarthy. She got 1-3. She two of her goal-bound efforts saved. She had another excellent day on the 40 in her best position at centre-forward, driving the team forward herself. Ashley Thompson, Aoife Healy, and I could name a few others, but I think overall a really, really good team performance. And the fact now that there is such competition for places is exactly where Germany wants to be heading into a Munster final.
Definitely. You mentioned it there. So Cork are going to face either Tipperary or Waterford, we don't know yet, in that final. How do you rate their chances against either of those teams?
Well, Tipperary are on a bit of a high at the minute, to put it mildly. They won the National League and they won a Munster minor championship as well this past weekend, beating Waterford. So this is a very, very strong and up and coming Tipperary team that have, you know, in recent times it's been Cork, it's been Kilkenny, it's been Galway, who've been hogging the senior headlines, and Tip certainly want to muscle their way back in there. I think on paper right now, I would think that Tipperary would probably give Cork a bigger challenge, but Waterford are another county. We've seen it in ladies football, and we're certainly seeing it in Camogie, getting it right at underage level. And it was Waterford, you know, that have got some notable wins in the championship in recent times as well at minor, and they are a coming team as well. But I think Tipperary are just a little bit farther down the road. So I don't think Germani cares who he plays, because he just wants to win it. But if he had an option right now, I think on paper he'd probably get a harder game from Tipperary.
Okay, we'll have to wait and see on that one. The second game of the day, obviously, was the Cork hurlers, who unfortunately were unable to follow in the Camogie team's footsteps. I know that the officiating was a bit contentious. How much of a role do you think that played in the result? Because there was only 2 points in it at the end of the day.
Contentious is putting it mildly. When the referee is booed off at halftime and full time by the Cork supporters, you know that it's going to be a talking point. Look, We're not here to bury referees. There's few enough of them as there is in the game. And look, but James Owens booked 14 players and sent off Sean O'Donoghue today. And on paper, if you were to read that, you'd say that was quite a dirty game. It's most certainly was not. It was hard hitting. It was proper Munster hurling championship. Two teams, do or die, couldn't afford to lose. We're going at it. But there was a couple of off the ball incidents. I will admit that, Sarah, where there was both players from both sides, you know, hammering each other, pushing and shoving and having a go. Nothing that you wouldn't associate with any Munster senior hurling championship game. My opinion of James Owens is that he was overly fussy, really overly fussy. You know, there was a couple of decisions where players gave him a decision to make, so that's on them. But what I would say is, having seen Sean O'Donoghue yellow carded for the second time, and at that point, there was only a point between the teams, and that opened the floodgates. That was a turning point in the game, because then, you know, they both went on to score 3 goals each in just an absolutely crazy second half. Fantastic atmosphere, crackling all the way through. But I do think, to be fair, James Owen's performance, we asked Pat Ryan, the Cork manager, went out at halftime to have a chat with him at halftime. He didn't want to know. There was things that Pat was not happy about. At one point, there was a Cork player down injured, and during that period, while that player was down injured, before and after they got treatment, Clare got 1-1.
Yeah.
So things like that, playing the remainder of the game, with like third quarter with 14 players in such a tight game, Sarah, where there was going to be minimal margins today, that was a huge turning point. Having seen Sean O'Donoghue's tackle and challenge, yes, it was robust. Yes, it was hard, but he was going for the ball. And I think, you know, on reflection, I think when people slow it down and see the replays, I thought it was quite harsh. But look, James Owens is not the reason Cork lost today. Cork lost today because they conceded more goals and points, with more points to their opponents. I just thought Clare were always that little bit sharper, that little bit better on the ball. Cork put up a fantastic display to haul themselves back into it, but it really is a really disappointing and frustrating finish for Cork, because back-to-back defeats now puts them in serious trouble.
Yes, definitely lots to digest from that one. Ger, we will let you go, but thank you so much as always for joining me here on the Big Red Bench.
Good stuff, talk soon.
As I mentioned there in that conversation with Ger, the other Munster Championship Camogie semi-final isn't happening until next weekend, so the girls will have to wait until after that to see whether it'll be Tipperary or Waterford who they face in the final. But let's hear from the Cork Camogie camp themselves about that win. You'll hear first from players Saoirse McCarthy and Maeve Cahalan, followed by their manager Ger Manley.
Saoirse, first of all, job done today for Cork. You managed to get in a very, very important goal yourself, could have had a few more. What's the immediate reaction coming off the pitch and reaching a Munster final?
I suppose job done. Like, we wanted to come out today and get a win. Obviously last year in the same, like the quarter final of the Munster against Waterford, like that was massively disappointing. I did have in the back of my head today, we're not letting that happen again. So look, just come out and pack a grieve and get a win ahead of the lads match is a great achievement in itself. And looking ahead to the Munster final now.
Clare put it up to you today. They're a sticky opponent at the best of times, and they really put it up to you. So how important was it that you got that 5-6 point cushion, especially at the break?
Yeah, they're a very physical team. They're very strong in the tackle, and they're always very, very close. Like, I think they pushed us to extra time a couple of years ago in the Munster semi-final. So look, there's always teams left in the Camogie, and you never know what's going to happen. I suppose that adds to the sport at this stage. But yeah, look, getting that cushion just before half time really settled us, and I feel like we were jittery at the start and settled into the game ourselves. But it's getting used to the pitch, you know, getting used to the fast surface. We haven't really been training on surfaces that are quite as zippy as that, so you know, getting used to that and getting settled into the game, definitely.
And an opportunity to play in a big stadium in front of a big crowd as well. How important was that just for the younger players to experience that?
Oh, brilliant. You know, like any days out like this, if like you see Millie Condon coming on there now and playing in front of a crowd there in Parky Creeve, like that's going to be something she'll never forget. And you see Clodagh Finn coming on and getting a couple of scores, like the impact that they made was huge, and like that's only adding to the strength of the squad as well. So like it's brilliant to have days out like this.
You mentioned there, Saoirse, the strength of the squad, you know, and the two girls that you mentioned coming on there.
Yeah.
Obviously there's massive competition for places this year.
Yeah, huge, and that we wouldn't have it any other way. Like the competition drives people on the whole time. Like you see the likes of Hayley Ryan starting today, Claire Mullen starting today, like Clodagh coming on, like I said, Millie coming on, like they're all really pushing on. Niamh O'Callaghan making her way back into Championship Camogie, like, so like it's huge. Like
there's pressure on you all, really, which is a good
constant,
thing from a positive from a Cork point of view.
Hugely, yeah. And I think Ger wants to create that environment, just to make sure every single one of the panel is pushing to get on. And like I think everyone today is on the panel due to injuries and stuff like that, but like the next day, like the competition won't just be to get on the first 15, it'll get on to the first 30, and like that's where the competition is really, like we're all pushing each other, and you know, everybody's replaceable at the end of the day, so it's just keeping you looking over your shoulder a little bit.
Maeve Cahalan, job done, but a tough opponent today in Clare, and they made it difficult for you for long stretches of that game.
Yeah, look, we knew coming here today that the main objective was to get the result, and I suppose we did. There were times there where we performed very well, and obviously, you know, we love work on the next day, no doubt about it, but you know, Clare really came at us, and you know, they had good patches of play as well, so gave us a lot to do there in the back line at times.
Your brother just rushing out onto the pitch for the Cork and Clare game, I know you're anxious to go and watch him, but But from Cork's point of view as well, like you said, good performance today, a lot of help as well off the bench, some of the younger girls really making their presence felt.
Yeah, brilliant. And you know, I suppose that's really what got us over the line last year was our bench, you know, having a strong panel, and it really just is so important. And we're just trying to build on that at the moment. And you know, Clodagh Finn came on, I don't know, she got 2 or 3 points. She just looked so, you know, she looked electric when she came on there, unmarkable. So it's just so important to have those girls coming in, making an impact and finishing the game off.
Into a Munster final, it's another step. We're heading towards that All-Ireland Championship. Momentum is like a cliche, maybe, as you know, but it is important, I think, for so many younger players as well to experience Páirc Uí Chaoimh today and to get into a Munster final. You want to go and finish the job now.
Definitely, and I think, you know, it's really nice to be out there in Páirc Uí Chaoimh playing on games like today with the double header with a bit of a crowd in, you know, and they really got behind us there in the second half. So for the young girls to get exposure like that, you know, I suppose we didn't make it to Croke Park this year in the league final, so even to get exposure in places like this and in Thurles now the next day is so important for them, just to get the experience of that.
Enjoying your camogie at the moment, you're injury free, which is fantastic to see. Having a clean bit of health makes a big difference, I would imagine, at this time of the year for you.
Yeah, it does, definitely. And I mean, that's really the goal with the split season now, such a short season, is staying injury free, especially for these couple of weeks. You know, we picked up a couple of injuries there the last couple of weeks, so hopefully we can get them right, you know, for the group games coming up. So, you know, from today what we'll take is, you know, a lot of positives, a lot of work-ons, and it was important to get game time into a lot of girls, so delighted.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, Bev.
Thanks, Ger.
Sure, congratulations, job done. But what was your overall view of the team performance?
I suppose, look, we've had no game really since the league game against Galway, so a bit rusty. Look, we've loads of space for improvement, we know that, but we came down here to win. We're in a heavy block of training, it's supposed to be a heavy week this week, and that's not a suspect to clear, but we know that we had to get a bit of work in over the next couple of weeks because the championship's the 25th of May, so we're in the Munster final, and that's what we're aiming today, to win the match. Could we win a bit more? Probably could, do you know, but look, I'm delighted that we won.
Saoirse McCarthy's goal was important, it came immediately after their goal, but just her running and her direct running all day.
Yeah, look, Saoirse's a fabulous player, and look, Liam Cronin's always on about the rebound after they got the goal, and I thought that gave a good kickback from the players. We always try and get a score after we can see the score, especially in major, and I think that's a fabulous goal.
What's the plan between now and the Munster final, or what do you need to build on?
Look, we have to build on, I suppose, getting more time, game time for them. We got Pamela Mackey back today, gave a few of the newer players a bit of time as well. Just get a bit of structure. Look, as I said, the aim is Wexford the 25th, and we've a good game now against Tipper Waterford. I think they're playing today, so everyone's that, it'll be a good test for us before the real championship starts in May.
Looking at the match today, the bench again played an important part. Clodagh Finn came on, got 3 points here. Players are putting up their hands for inclusion.
Well, I suppose, yeah, and look, we've Fiona Keating broke her thumb during the week, Lara Tracy's hamstring problem, and Cleany Healy was injured, like Pamela Mackey's back. Look, we've been saying this from the start of the year, is to get a competitive squad, and like that's what we're looking for, to get the squad competitive, and it's making it harder for us to pick teams and that. But look, it's really the subs make the difference. You saw last year when we had the subs come in and finish the match, and I think that'll be the key for us again this year.
Obviously competition for places is always strong in Cork. You've added to the panel this year. Chloe Mullins did her bit up again out there today. Claire Mullins did a bit out there again today. Another player that's holding up her hand for you.
Nebo Callan came on, Millie Condon came on, Ciara Sullivan's back on the panel as well, and like we'll be giving some of them more time as well now. Do you know, it's just our biggest problem is matches, you know, and as you can see, you can't beat a match, do you know, and that'll bring us on. It's just to get, look, we have good matches in training, but it's not the same thing, you know. And we played a few challenge games there, one challenge game now recently, but it's not the same as playing the Cut and Trust the Championship. So look, we're looking forward to it now. Look, Tipper Waterford, look, the Camogie Championship is even holding off that in the chair 40 years. All the teams are doing the same work, you know, the physical strength, conditioning, and look, I just hope that I think if we can perform, we'll take a bit of beating.
Looking at it, they're the dual players, obviously, Joe. Like some of them played a small part of footballers yesterday, and played here again today. But I suppose on the positive, that is, you now know that there's weeks between the games, that makes it a little bit easier for them anyway.
Yeah, look, I suppose Shane Owen, all fairness, he wasn't going to play a couple of girls yesterday. I suppose he had to. Hannah is probably one of our main players, and it's just to give her game time. Amy Healy's a fabulous Camogie player, Libby Coventry. And I suppose we have to be fair to them as well. Like, I suppose the big thing for them today was playing down the park. Like, we very rarely get games on here in front of, I suppose, a nice crowd, and we respect them, like we mind them really, you know. But they're playing top class every week and week out, and Liam knows that, so he minds them, you know.
And I suppose on the positive from this year compared to last year, was this year time last year Cork routed the Munster Championship. You're now in the final. It's another big game to look forward to, which all builds towards the All-Ireland Series even better than you.
Yeah, totally games. And like, as I said, it's very hard to get matches, and I suppose you get to see the players and the competitive nature of the Munster Championship, which is like the Munster Championship since the Munster Championship. We want to go and win it now. You know, we were saying that during the week, like last year, I suppose Waterford showed how good they were as eventually they got to the final. I suppose we did we underestimate them? I don't know, did we? I suppose we did a bit, I suppose, but we knew what they were like. And this year, we're underestimating. No, but even Clare, no, give Clare the credit now today. No, they came and they played well. They improved from the day we played them in the league, and we were playing again in the Championship. They're like between the top teams, is very little, I suppose. Look, we've probably some excellent players in positions, and that's going to make the squad more competitive. We'll probably have a stronger squad, and that's the key to us, get a strong squad that we can, you know, as we go on, we'll need to use the squad because we've five matches in the space. We've five matches, we've four in a row. We have a break, and then we've another two, so it's going to be tough going there for a 6 week period.
Okay, let's get a reaction from the Cork hurlers now. First up, we have the post-game thoughts of Cork boss Pat Ryan and then those of Clare manager Brian Lowen.
Look, to be honest, I don't think there was a dirty game, but look, I could understand. Look, I think Sean made a very good challenge on the second and the first thing. I don't know, did he kind of ship, did he do a third man tackle then on the way out? That's what the lad said to me. I don't think it was for the first thing, but look, I'd be honest, we've been down to 14 and 13. I don't think it was the dirtiest team in the world. It wasn't a dirty game today, but I just thought there was too many yellow cards, and look, that's the way we go. We move on.
I suppose first half he looked more like he could score a goal. Is ironic then Clare offered very little in terms of goal threat in the first half, and ironically then I suppose in the second they got three, both sides got three, but he looked a lot clearer in the first half to score goals.
Yeah, we had three or four opportunities that we should have taken in the first half that would have put us in a good setting. Look, obviously in fairness to Clare, they got a great first goal. You know, like there's going to be spaces open up when you're playing with 14. When you're playing 14 against 15, and they got a couple of opportunities towards the end to take their chances. But look, I suppose the one thing I'd be disappointed about, we had a man down injury 1-1, and you're asked to play away, and I don't think that's very fair, to be honest. I don't think there's player welfare involved in that. We conceded 1-1 well, the lad was down injured, and I think that was a big turning point in the game. You know,
disappointing with your defending. Again, goals are obviously hurting you.
Yeah, but you're going to give up opportunities. Like, I don't think they were more efficient than their goal opportunities. If you look at the game as a whole, we had more opportunities, didn't take it. I think the efficiency from that point of view didn't do it. Like, well, look, I thought we defended very well for a long period of the game. Look, they're a very, very good side. They got an opportunity in the second half. They're good players. And look, but I thought our fellas hurled manfully as well in top of that, you know.
How do you feel your changes in midweek, the team selection changes, did that improve you?
Look, sure, we didn't win. That's the bottom line. But look, I think it was more the attitude of the players that went out and where we went out. We were definitely more up to it. We took the game to Clare from day one down in Walsh Park last week. We left Waterford dictate the game. I thought we were dictating the game for an awful lot of that game today, you know. But we're up against a quality side, and because they said, look, our discipline left us down a small bit, and even in our discipline as regards, we gave too many frees to a top class free taker, Nathan McCarthy, and look, that was a disappointing part for us.
Do you feel like Cork have got out of this situation before, and you know, probably so? Like, I guess you can't kind of roll down the tent and say it's over.
I know. Listen. We had a fantastic crowd here today. We're representing the Cork jersey. You know, I thought the lads represented it way better today than we did last week. We've Limerick coming in in 2 weeks' time. Do you know what I mean? What are we going to do? Fall down on our sword? Is it? No. Look, we have to get ready to go against Limerick next week. And look, in fairness to the lads, you know, it'll probably be easier to get them up after this game than it was last week, because look, it was a abysmal performance below Waterford. Whereas today it was much better performance. But look, at the end of the day, we're only interested in winning, and that didn't happen. You know.
Was there a problem in the air? Pat poke out some both sides of the ball, but like Peter Duggan and stuff.
Look, I think Peter Duggan is catching ball with 10 years. Do you know what I mean? I thought Tim O'Malley did a very good job in him for long periods of the game. Do you know what I mean? In fairness, I thought Tim O'Malley did a very good job and picked up a yellow card for what I wouldn't have a clue what you're dealing with, what it was about, and that made life difficult for him. But look, obviously he's a very good player and he causes problems. And look, I thought once we got the ball early, we got our puckos going well very much in the first half. Second half they just got a run loose. I thought that, you know, look, they got on top and they got maybe six or seven balls that they won on top of us, and that brought them back into the game after we went 7 points up. But look, you know, you live and learn, and then obviously you're making a few changes then, and because you have a man down, and the game gets a bit kind of gets a bit all over the place, really, if you want to a better word.
Is there anything you feel could have been done differently at 7 up to just keep them around things for a bit longer?
Look, they're a good team. Do you know what I mean? They weren't going to lie down to being 7 points down. Look, obviously, we had a couple of, we had a great opportunity for 6 points when Shane went through, but Eva Quilligan made a fantastic save and we went 7 points up. But look, we probably rushed a bit of puck out. We probably could have got a bit of calmness onto it. That's why we tried to get Mark onto the field.
Yeah.
Mark onto the field, middle of the field, and straight away with a man sent off. And then all of a sudden, Mark is going back, wing back, and you're trying to reshuffle. And, you know, but you're chasing the game then. But first off, they chased the game really, really well. And, you know, Damo was a bit unlucky at the end for an opportunity, you know. So look, in first off, as I thought they played. Well, for the jersey for 70 minutes, you know.
And like, do you think there's any issues now in terms of confidence or anything like that when you're going to have to go out and beat like the team that has been unbeatable the last 4 or 5 years?
Well, sure, because after losing two games, it's going to affect the confidence. But up personally, to try and get the lads picked up again and go again. But look, I think the lads know they were well in that game. There was plenty of opportunities where we could have won that match today, and we just analyse it and see what we can do and try and pick them up.
What was the injury to O'Mahony, Pat?
Cramped up, just cramping his two calves, so he should be okay to go on Tuesday.
Was not great for the
heart,
for the part to get the results, obviously.
Yeah, it's great. Just good performance from our lads, stuck at it, even when, you know, in the early part of the first half, second half, when things weren't going for us, stuck at it and did well in the end.
Yeah, I mean the seven, after Cork made a kind of great start to the second half, we were 7 points down at that stage. I mean, you know, it's a huge thing to come back from, but within, let's say, 10 minutes, it was back level, and then I suppose a fight to the finish, really.
Yeah, no, it was just a real tough ding-dong kind of a game, and great to come out the right side of it.
Yeah, today was about a bit of grit and character, really, wasn't it?
Well, it was after the week, you know. I suppose not just losing the game. You know, there's no shame ever in losing, but I suppose to make the errors that we made to lose that game, that was very disappointing. So it made for a tough week, and test the character for the guys, and they responded great.
Yeah, like the goals in the second half in particular, you know, I mean, they were fantastic. Came in very timely fashion, really, didn't it?
Yeah, just you know, great, great work, great from all our lads all over the field, and we've got some really good players and really good finishers, and they showed that.
Just on Tony Kelly, he didn't make it today.
No, he didn't make it. No, it's just he wasn't right.
Okay, after last week.
Yeah. It's a huge result now, really, though, isn't it? You know, I mean, for the Rivers to win today, I mean, it was a lifeline to try and get right back into the championship now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's crucial for us that we responded, and that we responded well. Well, look, we did it last year. You know,
yeah.
It was tough to it was a tough loss last year as well. But there's good grit in amongst that group, and fair play to them. And the other thing I say is just, you know, really appreciate the support we got from our own supporters as well coming down today. And you could understand if they didn't want to come down, but really thankful that they did, and that they came down and supported the team in such great numbers.
Bring it out, James Reid. He came out the field there in that second half when we were down to 7 points. It really seemed to give us great energy, and he scored two fantastic points when they were really needed. Brought it back to 5 points, second. But that was a great move.
Yeah, he, David has had a tremendous year. He, you know, right from the start of the year, I don't think he's missed any session. He's been absolutely tremendous, and in this game, when you work, you do get rewards for it. You may not get them all the time, but if you keep working, you will get rewards. And David did great today, so delighted for him.
Yeah, the impact less soon now. The championship has started today. Really, winning this game today, we're right back in it.
Yeah, we're right back in it now. It was so disappointing to lose, not just to lose, but just the manner that we lost last week. So, no, fair play to our lads. They showed a good bit of grit, and they did great.
How big a blow was it, Brian, to lose Tony Kelly and Dara?
It's a big blow, but we've got a good panel. We've got a good panel, and they've been working hard all year. And look, both Dara and Tony would love to have been able to make it, but they just couldn't. You know, if they're injured, they're injured. So the call was made, and calls made. It was after Thursday morning when the teams had to be in, but call was made, and it was up to everyone else to just get on with it. And I suppose with Tony being out, you know, everyone else knows that they have to give a little bit extra.
How much of a setback did Tony suffer? Like, you know, what's the prognosis to him like already now?
That's with the physios. Physios are working hard.
Philip. Brian, just obviously crazy last few minutes. Like, did you think you had a one when you were five up with heading for injury time?
Yeah, well, you don't in these games. Like, you just don't ever have a one until the game is over, and it was up and down game. Like, the scores were coming thick and fast right the way through the game, and no, so I didn't. So we were going to play on until the referee blew the whistle, and you'd hope then at the end that you're going to be on top, and today we were.
You are very welcome back to the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7 p.m. Let's get you a score update from that final Premier League game of the day, and it has ended 2-0 in Manchester City's favour in their game against Nottingham Forest, so they are now just 1 point behind Arsenal at the top of the Premier League table, but they do have that game in hand to come, which is probably realistically look at the rest of their schedule are going to be in their favour. So it looks like it's down to Arsenal and Man City now after Liverpool's tough couple of weeks. But let's get you the full-time report from the City Ground.
Nottingham Forest 0, Man City 2. In the end, the champions got the job done, but Forest certainly made them work hard for the win. Josko Kvaratskhelia put City in front on 32 with a header from a Kevin De Bruyne corner. Forest were still in the contest, though, but were guilty of being wasteful with the many chances presented to them on 71. De Bruyne again was the creator, slipping in Erling Haaland, who sealed the win and ensured City kept pace with the league leaders Arsenal. Full-time at the City Ground, Nottingham Forest 0, Man City 2.
Let's have a quick chat about Formula One now, because there was some very interesting news that came out of the F1 world this week, which is that Adrian Newey, chief technical officer at Red Bull and widely considered to be the foremost technical mind of the current ground effect era of Formula One, looks like he's leaving the team. Now, there had been rumours about this for a number of weeks, because Newey had been seen at a certain location in Italy around the same time, shortly after Lewis Hamilton's move to Ferrari from 2025 was announced. But this week, things intensified significantly, and it seems like we're getting closer to an official decision from Adrian Newey that he is going to leave Red Bull after 18 years. And apparently it has largely been brought on, you know, unsurprisingly, by the allegations of misconduct that were levelled at team boss Christian Horner earlier this year. Understandably, Adrian Newey is not happy in the current environment, and that's also partially due to the power struggle around the ownership and leadership of the team, which has at this stage now completely divided it really into two very distinct camps, and has even led to another branch of reports that Max Verstappen himself would actually be contractually entitled to leave Red Bull if Helmut Marko in particular was let go from his position. So, although Red Bull have not officially confirmed this story, it has been interesting to witness the change of tone that has happened with Christian Horner in particular over the last couple of months. In the past, when asked about the dominance of their car and its design, Horner would sing Newey's praises happily, but in more recent times he's been spreading the spotlight out further to encompass the entire Red Bull technical team rather than Adrian Newey in particular, who obviously leads that part of the organisation and has been with the team now for, as I said, 18 years. Obviously, while it's absolutely true that the Red Bull car design is not a one-man show, my two cents on this is that if I were a team principal or a CEO in Formula One right now, and if I knew there was an opportunity to convince Adrian Newey to join my team, I would be doing absolutely everything in my power to get him. Because the reality of the situation is that Adrian Newey he's a technical genius. I think that's fair, not overstating things. And the impact that he would have on any team that has the right level of resources would be an absolute game changer for whichever team he chooses. Obviously, If you did end up going to Ferrari at the same time as Lewis Hamilton, that would be pretty incredible. However, a couple of other teams are potentially in the mix, including Aston Martin. Now, personally, I would be disappointed to see Adrian Newey's skills frittered away on a driver like Lance Stroll. But at the end of the day, I think for someone with Adrian Newey's brain power, it's going to be about who can convince him that they've got the most appetizing opportunity for him to take this next step in his career. This could possibly be a move that involves him deciding where he's going to finish out his time in Formula One, which would make the stakes even higher for him. He's previously spent time at McLaren and Williams before he joined Red Bull, and his tenure has always increased in length with each move, so he isn't the type to jump ship after a short time. So look, it's certainly a very interesting situation and something that we will be keeping a very close eye on as Formula One heads to the Miami Grand Prix next weekend. But in the meantime, we're going to pivot back to Gaelic Games because Kerry forward David Clifford is looking forward to another Munster final, with the Kingdom having conquered Cork at the weekend and Jack O'Connor's side won by 18 points to 112 against the Rebels in Killarney, and they'll now face Clare in the provincial decider. But Clifford has been speaking to Oisín Langan at Croke Park as Super Value launched their championship sponsorship for 2024.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by 2023 Footballer of the Year and Kerry star David Clifford as part of Super Value's launch of the GAA All-Ireland Senior Football Championship and its hashtag Community Includes Everyone campaign. Sponsors of the championship for a 15th consecutive season, Super Value were joined by Gaelic Games role models and advocates from across the country in Croke Park today to highlight the role of GAA communities in making Ireland a more diverse, inclusive and welcoming country for all. David, look, you're one of the best players that I've ever seen. You're used to getting these compliments thrown at you, so you can handle them well. But what about the GAA at large? Everything I just mentioned there, that's what it's really about, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, I suppose the GAA too, it means something different to all of us. Whether it's being here on All-Ireland final day and the pressure of that and wanting to win, or whether it's simply down at the pitch as a young fella, where... if you talk about a family, one of the kids is playing, maybe the mother is giving out the tea after, the dad is training the team, the older brother plays with the under-16s, the older sister plays with the under-14s, and their whole life is revolves around the club. That's really what it's all about. I suppose it's such a good way then of including people maybe who are new to an area, who wouldn't have a background in GAA. One family member all of a sudden gets involved, and then, as I said, a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden their whole family spends their whole Saturday or their whole Sunday down there. So it's just an unbelievable organisation, really, do you know?
And once you're in, you're in.
That's for sure.
Let's talk about the weekend. A victory against Cork in the Munster semi-final. What are your thoughts on the match?
Relatively pleased with the day out. We were expecting a very tough battle. Cork finished the league very strong. Particularly putting up 216 against Armagh, that was a game that really kind of caught the eye. You said, "Jesus, okay, these fellas are going well." We obviously didn't start very well. We were poor for the first 10 or 15 minutes, and then we were happy enough with how we controlled the game after that. We won the game by 3 points. Was it a fair reflection? I suppose so. We were satisfied to come through it. Kerry, Cork and Clarny is, I suppose, the day that we all really look forward to. We were happy enough today.
As Paddy used to say, you get the dirty diesel out. And I know it wasn't that long since you played your last league game, but it can be difficult when you just kind of throw into a championship game like that, whereas Cork had a game. So in that sense, are you satisfied that you're kind of up to the pitch of it now, or certainly closer to it?
I suppose so, yeah. We were only saying it after, the pace of the game was hectic, no, right, for 20 minutes, more so than you would have seen in the league, obviously to do with the conditions of the pitches and stuff like that. There was a bit of an initial shock to the system, I suppose, and no matter how hard you train, it's still not. It doesn't replicate a championship game. So yeah, good to get off the mark, really, do you know?
Yeah. And what about your own performance in the game? How did you rate that?
My own performance, yeah, sure, it was grand. Yeah, I haven't thought about it too much. I suppose I made a couple of handling errors. I'm blaming the pitch for a couple of them. But yeah, it was grand, decent. Kicking was okay and stuff like that. So yeah, happy enough.
I'm sure Jack will tell you what your opinion of your own performance should be anyway. Yeah. It's Clare in the Munster final. That's going to be a challenge, isn't it? Because Clare have had some decent results over the last couple of years and they've got some very good players.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose the added factor of their management team or having the Kerry background or whatever, so they'll know us well. Look, and we've played each other an awful lot in the last few years, so it's going to be a big challenge. We're looking forward to this, first regardless, whether it's in, I think there's a toss or something going on for the venue, so we'll see how that turns out. So yeah, looking forward to it again. It's just another step in the road, I suppose, you know.
Does the venue play a big factor? As we speak, we don't know exactly where it'll be, but do players mind? Do players care? Is it a factor?
Not really, no. Look, I suppose there's pros and cons. Everyone loves playing at home, but then when you go away to a ground, obviously it makes it that bit tougher, and coming away from an away game with a victory is very pleasing. So like, there's pros and cons to both, you know.
The year before you won the All-Ireland, last year unfortunately fell just a little bit short against Dublin. I'm not for a moment suggesting you wouldn't be driven even if you'd have won last year, but is there a little bit of extra drive given how it ended last year, this year, for the Kerry footballers?
Yeah, there is, of course. Look, I mean, if you weren't hurt by losing an All-Ireland final, you know, there'd probably be something wrong. So of course that's there. But look, I know it's cliched, but you genuinely do have to nearly put that to the back of your mind for a while, because if you don't focus on the day-to-day stuff, then all of a sudden you will slip up. So it's not lies to be telling you that. That's genuine. You genuinely do just go day-to-day and try and get value out of every session, get value out of every game, just so that you can, I suppose, hopefully then put a collective amount of performances together to get back to the latter stages, you know.
You seem to have reacted well to it though, and there's one or two other options in this Kerry team now as well, which is probably what was necessary.
I suppose, look, you can react one or two ways. We were lucky in the sense that there was no big change of management or anything like that. It was still our setup remained the exact same, which was brilliant. As you said, blooding a couple of young players, they've done brilliant so far. So yeah, look, we'll hopefully be getting stronger now every week, and just looking forward to seeing where the championship takes us.
You're a young man, but you would be seen as a leader. How have you adapted to that role and the pressure that comes with it on and off the pitch?
It's hard to know. I suppose, look, just because of having the experiences we've had over the last, whatever, six seasons or whatever it's been, of course, yeah, you think you've learned things and you think you have things to add. I suppose I still wouldn't put any major focus on it, you know what I mean, or any pressure. If you've something to say in a meeting, you say it. If you don't have anything to say, you don't say it. It's as simple as that, really. Look, I suppose trying to have a word in the ear with some of the young lads and stuff like that is probably something that you do a bit more. Mightn't even be football related, just making them a bit more comfortable around the place. That's kind of something my other focus is really. But I suppose it's just happened naturally. Like, a lot of us came into the team together around the same year, so we've all kind of moved through the ranks together, do you know?
David Clifford, always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Now, before I finish up this evening, we are going to be chatting rugby. And first of all, a huge congratulations to the Ireland women's rugby team, who achieved their second win of this year's Six Nations campaign over the weekend. They beat Scotland in front of a sold-out crowd, or I should say a record crowd, of over 6,500 fans at King Span Stadium in Belfast. And not only was it an extremely gutsy performance from the girls after the defeat they suffered against England the week before, but it also confirmed that they would finish the championship in third place in the table. Now, the reason why that's so important is because it means that they have secured qualification for the 2025 Rugby World Cup. That has been the goal of this squad throughout the championship, and despite the defeats, they have kept the faith, they've stayed strong, and they've stayed confident in their ability to pull together as a team. And I could not be happier for them to have secured that qualification. It's also a World Cup that's going to be hosted in England, which means that hopefully we'll be able to get as many fans as possible over there to support the girls, and fingers crossed they will have put in an even stronger performance in next year's Six Nations before that as well. But it's absolutely fantastic news for the girls, and I can't wait to see what they're going to achieve in the next couple of years. In other rugby news, Bank of Ireland have announced a new 5-year sponsorship agreement of all 4 of the Irish provinces, and the fresh agreement underlines their commitment to the continued development of both the men's and women's rugby across all levels of the game. And Off the Ball's Aisling O'Reilly has been speaking to Munster's Kate Flannery at the sponsorship event.
Kate Flannery, how is things? It's lovely to get a chance to sit down and speak to you. Tell me a little bit about playing for Munster and what that means to you.
Yeah, so I played with Munster seniors the last two seasons. It's been such an amazing experience, such a nice feeling getting to represent your province. And like, I think in Munster we have such a tight group, like it's like family, and yeah, it's been great. I've been really enjoying it.
Yeah, I was speaking to Ava Ryder there just about transitioning from other sports and into rugby. What was it like for you growing up? Did you play any GA or anything like that?
Yeah, so growing up I used to play football in Camogie, and I played hockey as well. And then I started rugby when I started rugby young. I'd say I was six. I started with the boys because where I lived there was no girls team around. But then when I got to 12, they met a girls team in Feddert, so I joined there and been playing since.
And what was it like playing with the boys? Do you think that it sort of helped you probably physically and that as you got older then too?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think just getting stuck in there and learning that way, not getting any soft treatment, I guess, just stuck into physicality, it was good. Yeah, and I think there was like two other girls that used to play on the boys team too, so yeah, it wasn't too bad. I wasn't on my own at least.
Yeah, that helps for sure. And obviously your family is steeped in rugby.
Yeah.
Jake Flannery is your brother,
yeah,
who plays for Ulster. So what is that like, I suppose? And your other brother plays as well for Shannon. So what is it like to have all that going on in the household?
Yeah, it's mad. It is a rugby household, to be fair. And I think that's one of the main reasons I started, just seeing that both of them played and they loved it. So I said I'd try. I think it's really helpful that Jake plays and we play the same position. So like, it's really helpful if I'm trying to analyse a game or you have questions. Like, he's very good to help and he can even help me improve my skills. So it is great. It's great as well to like be able to watch games together and everything. Mm. So it's a nice thing to have in common.
And you play as an out half.
Yeah.
What skills do you need to have as an out half, would you say?
Well, I'd say you definitely need to have a good pass, good hands, and obviously kicking's very important. I think as well is to be, needs to be very like not loud, but you have to be very like direct people and just really up your talk. So I think that's one of the most important things, is just that I've learned from going from like say underage to seniors, that you really have to be loud, you have to direct it or else it'll all fall apart. So yeah, that's what I learned most, I think.
And from underage the whole way up, was it always an out half? Was that always the position you played?
Yeah, so well, when I started with the boys, I feel like no one really had positions, they were all everywhere. But since we had the team in under 14, I'd say yeah, I've always just went out half. I think it was because whenever I played football, I guess they were just like, oh, you can kick it. So I was running there. So yeah, I've only been playing there since.
And what is your kicking routine like?
Like say when I'm kicking off the tee or anything.
Oh, say when training wise, so how much kicking would you do, maybe separately away from the team itself?
So normally on a Tuesday I get a good bit of kicking in when we've club training, because like more out of hand kicking, and then on a Thursday we'd obviously have a match on the weekend, so normally before pre-session I do a few kicks off the tee and stuff. And then if we did have a weekend off, I'd normally on the Saturday when we've conditioning to do, I'd add kicking to the end of that as well.
And who are the out halves that you would look up to or you've always admired, male or female?
Well, I think anyway, from being from Munster, Nicole Cronin, when I first came in, I was just like, it was so surreal. I was like, oh my god, I'm getting to train with her. So I think she's been so helpful for me as well, like, because she's from U-Elbows as well, so I think she's really helped me. And then looking up from when I was younger, I think just like Ronan O'Gara, like he was class, so I was just thinking I just want to be like him.
Do you ever get a chance to meet him?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure. Playing for Munster, there'll come a time.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Obviously, you probably watched then La Rochelle and Leinster at the weekend. What did you make of that game? Who were you supporting as a Munster, Munster woman?
I was happy for Leinster, to be fair, seeing as they had a lot of hurt going into that game, I think, and they deserved it. Like, they're a world-class team, so it was a great watch, to be fair. They play some really good rugby.
Oh, really?
So even though I don't really like Leinster, they are good. You have to admire them.
Good sportswoman. And looking at the Women's Six Nations at the minute and seeing the growth within Irish rugby, and we saw Ireland get the win over Wales, which was an unbelievable performance as well, which was great to see. What is that like as a young player looking up to that?
Oh, I think it's amazing. Like, just watching the game and just, it was, I feel like that group really deserve it. They put in a lot of behind the scenes work. There's been a lot of growth in the women's game from roots up. They've put in NTS in place for the women, and it's just growing. And I think that was a long time coming, like the work they've been putting in behind the scenes. It was really nice to see it transfer onto the pitch, and I think they should be all so proud. It was just an amazing performance by everyone.
And seeing that there's professional contracts in place now, is that something that you aspire to do?
Yeah, 100%. It's really nice to know, obviously your goal was always to play rugby, and now it take the pressure off where you can go into the environment where you're playing against people who are doing it every day, and now if you got the chance to play every day, how much better you'd improve at. You know, it's nice to see, like, not even training every day, and if you're put in that environment and you're working on your skills every day, how good you could actually become. And it's really showed, as they've improved so much. Like, you can tell that they've been training hard.
Yeah, you really can. And the under 20 Ireland squad, obviously last year was the first year of it, and you were part of that team, so yeah. It must be amazing to represent your country.
Yeah, I know, it was class. It was kind of surreal, especially it was the first one ever. It was nice. Yeah, like, that's another thing they've put in place. I think that's really good. Like, that was a really good time where to develop to play a higher level of rugby than club, and especially at your own age. So I think looking forward, I'll be able to get back into that squad this year and just get some more rugby at an international level, because there's no better feeling than putting on an Irish jersey.
And someone that I've got to work with many times now is Fiona Hayes. You'd know Fiona?
Yeah, I do well.
What is she like as a coach?
Oh, she's brilliant. I think she just has the perfect balance of, like, strict to fun. Like, she creates such a nice environment where you can just express yourself on the pitch without being under too much pressure, but then she knows when we're she knows when we're messing to put the foot down. So I think she's a really good balance as a coach.
And in terms of her training and the different, like, skill sets she brings, different drills she brings, because she'd often say she's thinking up things on the spot and she just thinks this would be different to do. What is she like that way? She seems very innovative.
She is, to be fair. She comes up with some calls for a club that I've never seen the likes of them, and hopefully we're able to pull them off. But yeah, I think definitely from training, one thing, she's a forwards coach, so I think the contact level she brings and the drills she brings, I find that really helpful, because that would have been a thing that I maybe hadn't developed as much. So I think that's really helped me improve my contact skills.
And what is your hopes and ambitions now for the years to come? And I'm sure it'll be in an Irish jersey as well.
Well, definitely to just continue to play for Munster, hopefully get to start. And yeah, I'd love to eventually get a cap for Ireland, like, just get into the camp and really just develop as a player and get to the stage where I could be under consideration to be contracted. I just think that would be amazing. So hopefully,
fingers crossed,
put some work in.
No doubt, absolutely. Kate Flannery, thanks so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
That is everything that I've got time for this evening, folks. It has been Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for your Sunday edition of The Big Red Bench. If you missed anything or want to listen back to any parts of the show, the podcast will be up shortly after I'm off air. But in the meantime, have a lovely rest of your Sunday, and make sure you stay tuned for Mags Blackburn, who is up next with Green on Red.